Friday morning, Neil Larson along with Julie Mason. And Julie, it's open season.
That's what Neil keeps calling it. It's not open season. It's open enrollment.
Right. Yes.
For insurance. So we have with us David Parker. We call him our insurance guru. He always answers all our questions about it. And we do have some open enrollment questions, but we also wanted to talk to him about this confusion that's been happening at Brigham Young University, Idaho, and them not accepting Medicaid as an appropriate medical coverage for their students. So good morning, David.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Doing good.
Good. David, good. You texted me a couple of days ago and said you've got a little bit of insight on this. And Julie and I had been talking about it. It's a little frustrating because you're talking about thousands and thousands of these college students who are now being told they can't use Medicaid as an alternative to the school's mandated insurance that you have to buy at the beginning of the term or the period or the track, but you can opt out of it if you have a good alternative. Medicaid can't be that alternative. So you've been talking to people and asking around. Tell us what you know and what insight you have on this.
Well, what's happened is over the last several years, if you had what was called qualifying coverage, the university would not charge you for their health insurance plan. Now, like other health insurance premiums over the last several years, the price for their student health plan has been creeping up a little bit. Currently, it costs a student about, I think it's $525 or $530 a semester, something like that. Anyway, I don't have the exact number on that, but as it's costing that, you look at that, you break that out, and it's probably around $140 a month is what their student health plan is. Several years ago, the university decided not to make their health plan qualifying coverage for the Affordable Care Act, which is, I think they didn't want to cover birth control and abortion and fund those types of things. And so it wasn't minimum essential coverage is what the term is that the Affordable Care Act uses.
Yeah.
And so what ended up happening is they've gone to the students now and they said, look, if you have other coverage, you don't have to purchase the university coverage. Now, in the past, they have accepted Medicaid as full coverage. Of course, Medicaid is going to cover, locally, is going to cover all of their health services, from having babies to seeing a doctor for illnesses, mental health counseling, those types of things. And they've always accepted that. And they specified before it had to be Idaho Medicaid. And also the kids' insurance had to cover them with the local physicians in Idaho. And about a week ago last Friday, the Student Health Center, without announcing it, kind of said, here's our new waiver. We're no longer going to be accepting Medicaid. And I think that's where a little bit of the challenge has been. There hasn't been a lot of upfront explanation as to what's going on with that. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And so... Okay, I look at it and I don't want to start throwing out accusations or being suspicious of anything, but I do think the students are owed a better explanation for why it's happening. I know there was a story that came out yesterday and they said, well, Medicaid is just going to put too big of a burden on the local providers, but then they can't really find any local providers that have said that they had those discussions with BYU-Idaho, and BYU-Idaho didn't say who they had talked to make that determination as well. And so do you have a hunch in this, David? Do you have an idea or any insight as to, what's going on? I mean, none of us want to accuse BYU-Idaho of not being truthful but it doesn't feel adequate what they have said thus far.
And I think it's only human nature sometimes when there's something difficult to avoid a conversation. The Student Health Center has reached out to me, and to be honest with you, I'll be right up front. I'm losing about 300 clients to Medicaid expansion at our office that we sell insurance to now that will not be getting insurance next year because they'll have Medicaid. But I think that's an appropriate place for a lot of people who are in that income spot with the way the medical system works. It's not an inappropriate place for them to get their insurance. However, I've seen some really interesting things kind of evolve from this. I think if they come out and they say our intent is to make the students have coverage and availability to coverage, Medicaid is very adequate for that. And I think they should explain that. The challenge the university has is they've got to provide an avenue for students to get to health care who probably don't have other access. There are individuals who come to town that may not have insurance. How do they service them? It's like I visited with the student health center yesterday, and they said, would have been much easier had they said, tuition's going up $500, and by the way, it includes our health care plan. That would have been received different than this. Yesterday, I had a student come in my office who is trying to organize a protest, and he wants me to jump on their bandwagon, and I said, you know, I can't really do that. I've kind of got to stay neutral in this whole thing.
Yeah.
But what intrigues me is he has paid for the student health plan for the last several semesters, and now, in addition, he has Medicaid, and so he's explaining to me he went to a specialist a semester or so ago and ended up with a $1,200 bill because he was on the student health plan. Now he has Medicaid in addition to that, so it hasn't changed his financial situation at all, and he's organizing a protest. So it's interesting they haven't received Medicaid yet, but it's interesting how quick an entitlement mentality has jumped on it. And I think the challenge has been the communication from the university, probably worse than anything.
Well, yeah.
I was going to say, do you know other universities that do it that way, David? Do you know other places where they automatically include an increase in the tuition and then you get to use the medical services?
I don't. I'll be honest with you. I'm from Rexburg, and it seems like that's my circle of influence. I wish I knew better.
Hey, you're influencing us, David.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So, I mean, you think about if you go to BYU Idaho and you have to buy this insurance, if you still qualify for Medicaid, does having the insurance from BYU Idaho foul up your ability to fully use Medicaid as a student?
I don't think it fully fouls it up. It always complicates it. I always encourage people never have two insurances because usually the insurance companies start fighting over who is primary.
Yeah.
And we have a tough time getting the bill paid, especially when one of those is a government entity.
Yeah. Do we know, again, because they haven't really said fully why this is happening, how big a financial hit would this be to the university? I would imagine that whoever's providing the insurance to the university is not doing it for free, or the university's not allowing that access for free. And I would imagine whoever's providing the insurance. Do you know who's providing? Like who is this that's providing the insurance, and how would it impact them if the university said, okay, Medicaid's an acceptable alternative?
The insurance is from DMVA, the Deseret Mutual Benefits Insurance, I think it is, which is the church's health insurance. The church has tons of employees all over the world, and that's who's underwriting and helping them do it. The thing you got to there are huge numbers involved. So I did the numbers. Let's say there's 7,000 students on it at $525 a semester. At three semesters a year, that's over $11 million. But the other side of that intrigues me is I see healthcare coming up. How much of people's paychecks are going to health insurance when the employer provides insurance? I'm starting to see, I mean, is this a part of life? It's a pill we're having a hard time swallowing, or I don't know. I don't know whether to say what's right or what's wrong, but the cost of healthcare as it increases, that becomes our overall cost of everything we do, and frequently that's financed through an employer. So if I'm going to a university, do I pay it through there? I don't know. And if I have other coverage at my employer, they let me wave off and say, yeah, you've got other coverage. You don't need to participate.
Yeah.
So how does the university put together enough money to run their program?
Okay. One last question here. We're starting to run out of time, David. But part of the detail that's come out about this is that BYU and Provo – BYU South, or BYU Utah is what I like to call it. But they do allow Medicaid in Utah as an alternative. So my thought was, if the thought is, you know, the church has always taught self-reliance and not being dependent on the government, but that wouldn't be it because, you know, Provo students there can use it as an alternative. Is this just too big a hit too quickly to the university? And is it something that maybe they could transition over to over the next two or three years?
I think that's a definite possibility. The reality of it is that this whole thing kind of feels like a divorce where you've got his story and her story. You've got the university's and the student story. And the reality is somewhere in the middle. And in today's world, how do you find that middle ground? Where do you come together to make a solution? And unfortunately, you know, one side's inability to communicate what they're doing is putting a lot. I mean, I think we're going to see some protests and things. It sounds like this young man last night came to my office, you know, and I'm going, well, I don't know. I encouraged him. I said, you need to find a place to meet in the middle. You need to go sit down. I said, have you talked with President Eyring? And he says, no. And I says, well, maybe that's a good place to start. We need to get together and maybe have a little better communication. They maybe even could do it on the radio.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We would love to that host that great discussion. David, always great insight for you. We didn't even talk about open enrollment, but we'll touch on that soon because I know there's deadlines and things to be urged. You know what? We have 1 minute. What would you tell our listeners in 1 minute when it comes
to
open enrollment?
Super exciting new plans coming for we'll have the rates for them on December 1st. Just did a webinar yesterday. Some really interesting products that are supposed to be a lot more affordable. I should say for healthy people. So we'll say, give us a call at Parker Insurance on December 1st.
208-356-0009. Is that sick that I remembered all that, like right in that moment?
That is incredible, Neil. I appreciate it.
There's some actually unanswered phone calls on that number, so I just saw it the other day. I got to call you guys back. So anyway, you know how that goes. David, thank you so much.
You bet.
All right.